Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. And we will restart it. All right, in 3, 2, 1. Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovitz down at the NFL Annual League Meetings in Orlando, joined by my colleague John Moon Mullen over the phone. Moon, you're in Chicago. I don't want to ask how the weather is, but I'll ask, how is the weather?
Don't do that.
Okay, sorry.
You ruin my day and every other listener, so don't do that. No, it's, you know, it's sunny. It's kind of a warm front rolled through.
I wanted
to get me some more sunblock. I'm ready to go here.
I'm thinking about going back to the driving range again today, or maybe go to the pool. I don't know. Sorry, I probably just got, we're 40 seconds in and probably everyone's tuned this out because they hate me so much. Anyways, what I want to get into today is, we talk so much in the offseason and everything's very optimistic, right, Moon? You know, this is the time where you can dream about what the Bears are going to look like this year, but I want to take a quote from an article you wrote earlier this month. Your kicker in it, I loved. It was, quote, "Off seasons are about hope, but realism isn't all bad either." And I just got done sitting with Matt Nagy for about an hour at the media lunch here at the league meetings in Orlando. And walking away from that table, it was hard not to be excited about what the Bears offense could look like. It was hard not to be optimistic about all the different things that Nagy could do. So I almost want to present the optimistic viewpoint. Let's get into that optimism, but I want to get your sort of, not to be the negative guy, but let's just be sort of realistic about what the Bears offense actually is going to be and how good this team could actually be. Because right now, you look around and you see the guys they've brought in and you're like, man, this team's looking really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's looking good starting at the top with Nagy himself. I mean, again, it's always, it's hard to judge. It's like judging a draft. I mean, you really can't do that, at least until you're a year into things. I mean, some people say more than that, but you could tell at the end of the first, less than the first training camp, that Shea McClellan was not going to be a top pass rusher. Matt Nagy is one of the best hires I've seen in terms of the whole package and where he comes from. I'm also a huge admirer, or a lot of respect for the Andy Reid coaching tree. So the fundamentals, the coaching fundamentals that he comes in with, schematically and everything else, are so positive, which gives, he has the chance to construct a system that really allows Mitch Trubisky and the rest of the team to score more points, which we know is pretty important. And as bad as you, if you want to compare him to the last offensive coach, which didn't come with nearly this much optimism, that being Mark Trestman, that team and the 2013 team had a historically bad defense, but scored 31 points a game, I believe, and was 8-8. So you can be, if Nagy can get this team with his scheme and everything else, get the most out of this young quarterback and the pieces that they've brought in, then you have reason to be excited. And I don't, you know, now of course Nagy's going to be optimistic. He's been finally gotten the dream job as a young guy, and I can understand his optimism and everything else. But objectively about him, I think there is a lot of reason for optimism. And he kept one of the best defensive minds in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking from the top down, certainly a lot of reasons to feel good about what Nagy represents and what he will presumably bring to this team.
So here's what I really like about how Nagy talks about his offense is going to, what his offense is going to look like. he it's about being aggressive, being flexible, and creating mismatches. And it's not just creating mismatches, but it's dictating those mismatches. It's, okay, if we have Trey Burton on the field and you go nickel, then we're going to match up Burton against a nickel corner who he's a lot bigger than. Or if you go base, then Burton can block and we can run the ball on you. Or, you know, Nagy talked about this zebra receiver position, which is essentially what Tyreek Hill was with the Kansas City Chiefs, and how it's primarily slot, but, you know, you can move him outside, you can move him inside, you can throw him the ball behind the line of scrimmage. Then you got a guy like Allen Robinson who can take the top off a defense deep downfield, and you can just see how these parts are going to fit theoretically. But, you know, in the article you wrote, Moon, it was like last year, well, okay, Marcus Wheaton, if he can regain the speed he had in Pittsburgh, and Deion Sims, if he can continue to ascend as a pass catcher, and Mike Glennon, if he's got upside beyond the, you know, what he showed in Tampa. And there are a lot of those ifs, but right. I feel like this just sort of feels different, the optimism. And maybe it's just because it is a new coach, and new coaches are going to be inherently very optimistic about what they're looking at. But it's you can see the reasoning a lot more behind these signings and where they fit and how they fit and why they make sense than, oh, well, this guy was a really good player a couple years ago, so he's going to be a good fit. Just Nagy's explanations of how these guys fit really do make a lot of sense on paper before we see how this offense is actually going to play out.
Yeah, but, you know, that piece I wrote, again, it wasn't even intended to be negative. It was just a look at things, and having seen too many teams here, even going back into the early Dave Lundstedt years, and they would at the beginning of the year you said, okay, boy, these four things come to pass, this team could be good, and two of the four wouldn't happen, and the team would be meh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good by comparison to what we've seen the last couple of years, but you know, the one thing that tempers me is that you're talking about what Nagy will preach and espouse. Creating mismatches and all that sort of, every coach does that.
Right.
It's whether you have the guys that can do it. I mean, John Fox subscribed to that. That's what you want. You want to get your best pass rusher singled up against a right tackle or something. You want to get your red pass catching tight end singled up against a nickel corner or even a safety that can't stick with him or something like that. Everybody does that. So, whether or not they have the personnel to do it, and that was one of my reasons for looking at all these things. You know, if you look back to the 2015 season, all these things need to hit. Martellus Bennett, mm-hmm. and wow, that's good. That's a top flight tight end. Alshon Jeffrey's a wide receiver. Eddie Royal's come in, and he got 37 catches, only playing 9 games. Kyle Long was a Pro Bowler. Jay Cutler was going to have the best season of his career, and they were 6-10. So, let's say, Trey Burton, is he as good as even Deion Sims?
Right.
Probably. Yeah, I guess so. You start comparing, and again, it always sounds like you're being negative, but I'm just sort of saying, you know, your number one and number two receivers right now, pending what happens with Cam Meredith anywhere around the league, are both coming off torn ACLs.
Mm-hmm.
And the slot receiver, you got Taylor Gabriel, has four good seasons, but none of them have been the equal of what Kemba Wright did last year, which is
right.
59 catches. So, and that's with Matt Ryan. All of this, I guess we talked about this, and I think I wrote that the whole key of the whole season is not surrounding Mitch Trubisky with weapons. It's Mitch Trubisky taking the next step and turning all these guys into weapons. So that's the things that have to happen to go right. Each one of these guys has to take a step in the right, the positive direction, which does fall to both Nagy and Trubisky, and obviously Matt Helfrich and the offensive
right.
staff. But I think this is where realism. Let's go easier. I mean, this team, the team that had Martellus Bennett at tight end, went 8-8.
Yeah.
So you know, this is what I think you need to look and see. Just because you can be better and not be good, if that makes any sense. You can be
right.
Better than
yes.
We were, but we're still not good.
Right. I see that. I mean, after last year, the offense was so predictable and it was so dour. And, you know, I was talking with a former or with a current NFL cornerback last week who played the Bears, and I was asking him about the offense, and he was like, you know, we knew what was coming on every play. It was very predictable. It was not hard to defend. And this is coming from a guy who the Bears won the game that this guy was playing in. And they played pretty well on offense in that game. And it was just interesting to hear that. And even a game where the Bears offense ostensibly played well, he was like, eh, they weren't that good. They're pretty easy to predict. They're pretty easy to scheme against. We just didn't play very well that day. That you know, when you talk about the difference between having the right personnel and having the right coaching minds, I think it's a combination of both. Where the Bears, yeah, last year they did not have the right personnel. I mean, we talk about it so much. They had one guy who was flexible in that entire offense, and that was Tariq Cohen. And now this year you have Tariq Cohen, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, Adam Shaheen. You would project out to be that guy. You know, Allen Robinson, Cam Meredith, assuming he's back. There are so many different guys who can be flexible in this offense that will make it a lot harder to defend. But, you know, the Bears last year, on the other hand, they probably couldn't dictate the matchups they wanted because they had one guy who could sort of do that, and it was Tariq Cohen. And when he was on the field, he was doubled. Now, should Tariq Cohen have been on the field more, it's easy to kind of second-guess that and say, well, yeah, he should have. He was the only guy who was flexible enough to dictate matchups. But, you know, that's in the past right now, and I think if we're looking ahead, just it almost feels like the feeling around this offense is that watching it last year is going to be like watching film in black and white, and this year all of a sudden the offense is going to be in color again.
Well, it should be. I mean, if anybody thought they knew what the Bears were doing, well, here's the thing. You knew what the Bears couldn't do, which was pretty much everything.
Yeah,
If it involved wide receivers, you know, it's just going to be, you know, the variation of, you know, student body right, student body left, Jordan Howard right, Jordan Howard left, and maybe Josh Bellamy. Oh, I got one. All right.
Yeah, you know, right.
There were such limitations that, you know, as I kind of wrote that piece, all those things last year had to have, Glennon has to be better, and Meredith has to come close, and of course he gets hurt in the first game, Kyle Long's got to come back, and Deion Sims, well, none of those things came out with the result, as I said, that John Fox and Kyle Long suddenly were idiots. So I don't know that either is a great offensive mind, but you raise a great point, J.J. Defenses can dictate. You can, like, you know, the great coaches will say, you can take something away. If you're willing to sell out, an overload or whatever, you can take a receiver out of the game. You can take something away from somebody. The other team has to be then good enough to take what you do give them.
Right.
Which always sounds defense, and I thought Dow Loggins got an unfair rap for saying basically that. You know, and they were not good enough to dictate. You know, I don't think it was being defensive and, you know, or kind of a loser mindset. I don't have Jerry Rice. I don't have.
You don't even have Marcus Robinson.
I can't take the top off you. I can't do those. I can't do those things. You're giving me those things, and I can't do them. So that was the handcuffs. This year, to your point, I think is at this point of the offseason, at least they look like they have a chance to have more than just Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. You know, if you have to use your gimmick player, if that's the centerpiece of your offense, you're hurt.
Right. Exactly. All right, I want to get into another thought here on the Bears and kind of Ryan Pace's offseason plan, but we're going to go into a break first and then come back here on the Under Center podcast on NBC Sports Chicago.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL on NBC Sports Chicago. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, we're back here on the Under Center podcast. And Moon, for the second part here, I want to get into this question because you mentioned earlier in the podcast about the guy who matters the most is Mitch Trubisky, right? Trubisky needs to turn these guys who the Bears signed, the Burtons, the Robinsons, the Gabriels, he needs to turn them into weapons. But an interesting thought around this team is, so you look at their cap situation, and the Bears are going into 2018, they're 26th out of 32 teams in quarterback spending. They're dead last, I believe, in running back spending. If not dead last, they're right down at the bottom because they've drafted those two positions. So it's almost like with Trubisky, you have to surround him with weapons before you know if he's good or not. And that's just kind of how the NFL sets up in terms of the cap, in terms of free agency, is if you draft a quarterback, you need to get guys to be around him and then cross your fingers that he's good and you're not wasting a gigantic amount of money on a bunch of weapons for a quarterback who's not any good. So I think this is sort of the interesting dance for the Bears is, yeah, you can see some signs that Trubisky is going to be a really good player. You can see the, you know, his leadership and his work ethic off the field that are, you know, no one's really questioning those. But we don't know if Mitch Trubisky is going to be good yet. And we don't know if the weapons that the Bears have gone out and signed are going to make him better or if he's going to make them better. But the Bears had to go out and get these guys because they're not paying their quarterback a whole lot of money. So you have this vast amount of cap space that you need to go out and you need to find the guys who fit the offense to then hopefully pair with a quarterback who will grow quite a bit in 2018 in his second year in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're so well positioned cap-wise, and I mean, a lot of credit must go there. I mean, internally, this is even spending as money, throwing money away on Mike Glennon, for instance, not to pick on poor Mike, but basically you need people that are good enough to be as good as your quarterback is, if you want to call it that. You know, that, you know, Atlanta gets with, you know, Julio, which is where Taylor Gabriel comes from, obviously, and you get Julio Jones and Gabriel playing with Matt Ryan, and now you've got something. You've got receivers who are good enough, well, certainly with Jones in that case, they have the talent that if they can get anywhere open by an NFL standard, if they're good enough to, with their techniques and everything else, that you have a quarterback that can get the ball to a person who's only NFL open, which is a lot different than college open. And that's the step that Trubisky has to make. Now, if you want to be an advocate or a positive thinker here, well, with Josh Bellamy and really bad receivers last year, they had a passer rating, you know, kind of in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, well, is that good or bad? Well, we'll kind of find out this year whether he was he the problem. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a very pedestrian number. I think he had one of the lowest quarterback ratings in the NFL,
yep.
Other than Deshaun Kaiser. But yeah, they need enough raw talent, which then now you start wondering about. Okay, are Meredith is either Meredith or Robinson going to be good enough to be what this kid needs in the form of a big receiver,
mm-hmm.
and to give him somebody. Now he's got to be good enough to get it to him and understand
right
how to work with a big receiver. They're different than working with a slot guy. So that's the step that he has to take. And again, their position, as you talked about, money-wise, to have gotten some of these guys. And I think I'm not sure how many better players they could have gotten. I guess you could make a joke and say something. You could have traded for Odell Beckham or whatever.
Jarvis Landry, yeah, right.
Yeah, they've taken flyers on arguably the, quote, right guys, or, you know, we'll see.
Right.
Again, if you're looking at Trey Burton, he's got to be better than he ever was. He couldn't start in Philadelphia, but again, he was behind two good players.
Yep.
So, yeah, these guys, they have to be weapons, but also have to become weapons with a new guy.
So here's kind of the point I was making. I was looking at some of Pro Football Focus's numbers, and Trubisky last year on throws that were 10 to 19 yards outside the numbers to the left, his passer rating was like 4.4. It was awful. He couldn't get the ball there. No one was catching the ball there. Allen Robinson, 2015, I think when Blake Bortles threw the ball that way, his passer rating was over 100. So it's almost like a question, like a chicken or egg question of like, was Trubisky's problem last year that he just can't make those throws? Or was it that the wide receivers who were over there were never getting open and...
Or they couldn't catch those. Yeah.
So what's the issue there, and can Allen Robinson solve it? Is the issue that if you throw Allen Robinson over there, all of a sudden is Trubisky going to be like, whoa, you know, the skies have opened up and there's sunshine on that side of the field for the first time ever? Or will it be he's airmailing these throws or throwing dirt balls, and all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe he actually isn't as good as we thought he would be? I think that, you know, those sort of specific things are going to be really interesting to go forward with. And I want to share this with you, Moon. That same cornerback who I was talking to last week, I asked him about Trubisky, and I was like, you know, so what do you think of Mitch? And he was sort of like, Mitch, he's good, I guess. You know, he was fine. You know, the game that they played, he was like, a lot of the throws are really simple. We just didn't execute. We played like garbage. And then he kind of looks at me and he goes, but Deshaun Watson, and then goes on this 10-minute tangent about how amazing Deshaun Watson is. And, you know, I'm just like, and he's, you know, like, you know, I can't believe anyone would have taken anyone over Watson in the draft, and, you know, going on and on and on about that. That's, you know, not to say that one guy's opinion in the NFL is, you know, the end-all be-all. Right. But it was just sort of interesting to hear that, you know, from a player's perspective of, well, you know, Mitch, yeah, he's good. You know, sort of like shrug your shoulders, he'll be fine. But Watson, oh, he's going to be great. And the Bears, you didn't draft Trubisky second overall. You didn't move up one spot and have all this conviction. And for him to be, fine. You did that for him to be great. And that sort of is the growth that the Bears need to see out of him this year is, will he start to show signs of being great? And will these weapons that Pace and Nagy identified and went out and signed, will they help him be that great quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, you traded up and drafted Trubisky to be what Deshaun, in the NFL, what Deshaun Watson was in college.
Yep.
If you want to put it that way, you want that guy who's got you in the Super Bowl every other year kind of thing. Well, obviously not every other year, but, and there were people in the building who favored Watson and really were not happy when they took Trubisky over Watson. And here's the thing, the Bears could have gotten the quote, the wrong guy. And all three of the guys, you know, the funny part, remember back last week, we've talked about this, or it's been pointed out, last year's draft, depending on the draft, quote, expert we talked to at different times, hey, you know, this could be a draft. There might be no quarterbacks taken in
right.
The top. I mean, there could be two guys maybe in the top of the first round. This is the worst draft ever. Not only were three taken in the first round, all three were taken by teams that traded up to get them.
Yep.
And so the point is, somebody was seeing something, and one of them was the guy that Andy Reid traded up to get, which
yep.
is Matt Mahomes out in Kansas City, and Maggie had a hand in him. So they could have gotten the worst of the three, though, and still gotten a good guy.
Right,
you know,
right.
Make any sense. It's not, there isn't only one, there isn't one good quarter, only one or as many as one good quarterback in every draft. So he could be, Deshaun Watson could be everything everybody, or all of his supporters thought. And Mitch Trubisky could be in more Super Bowls, if I
right,
put it that way.
Exactly.
It could be a good, solid quarterback. You can win not only with, but because of. So those are the things that have to play out this year. But yeah, there was such a feeling with Watson. You know, you knew that nothing was too big for him. And I will say that was something I think we both observed last year with Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
The moment was not too big for him.
No.
I was real impressed. You could tell around him how teammates were. And I think that is the one big thing. Mike, it was too big for Mike Glennon. He couldn't
yeah,
do it.
Right.
He wasn't up for the moment. He was the deer in headlights. Trubisky starts off with, okay, he's not the swag. Well, yeah, he's got some swag. And I think that's one thing I think Taylor Gabriel and different people like about him.
Yeah.
He's got a little stuff in his neck. So, yeah, we'll see how this how it plays out. And obviously, Ryan Pace is going to have comparisons. They have to put up with comparisons of Trubisky and Deshaun Watson the rest of his time anyway.
Right. So I want to finish this on one final thought because, you know, we're down here in Orlando and a lot of the talk is about the quarterbacks this year in the draft, you know, specifically Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Mayfield. And, you know, there was a thought last year that, well, this quarterback class isn't very good. You know, the Bears, yeah, they need a quarterback, but they can kick it to next year. It's going to be a really good class. I think you look at how things are playing out, and the feeling down here is that none of these guys may be any good, you know, that there are four clear-cut top quarterbacks, but the opinions on Josh Allen are all over the board. You know, some people have him as like a mid-round grade. Some people have him as the best quarterback in the draft. You know, Baker Mayfield, some people have him as one of the top five players in the draft. Some people say, oh, he's too short to play in the NFL. And you look kind of all over, and I think the Bears are probably sitting in a pretty good position of saying, look, we got our guy. We got our quarterback. We don't need to kind of wade into these super competitive sort of murky waters this year of, you know, is it Darnold? Is it Allen? Is it Rosen? You know, any of these guys, you know, Rosen, is he too smart to play in the NFL? Some of those ridiculous questions that are being thrown out there. Oh, the guy is a life. He has opinions. Get him out of our building. Just these like asinine opinions on some of these guys. And the Bears are sitting there saying, yeah, we got our guy. He's started 12 games for us last year. He showed, like you said, Moon, the moment is not too big for him. And we got weapons around him now. And, you know, it's been a very easy process for the Bears right now. In terms of drama, I look over at these poor Giants writers and chasing Odell Beckham stories around all around here. And, you know, all of a sudden, Ndamukong Suh signs with the Rams. And the Bears are sitting back. They got all their shopping done, and they got their quarterback. They got their coach. They got their weapons around him. They kept their defensive coordinator. They kept their cornerbacks. And it just seems like this is probably pretty relaxing. The Bears can now sit back, really dive into their draft board and not have to worry about a lot of drama or, you know, pressing questions about which quarterback to take because they already got theirs. And that may not necessarily mean that Trubisky's going to be better than any of these guys or as good as any of these guys. But look, I think this is what the point I'm getting at is this is why you don't kick your decision on a quarterback to the next year because a lot can change over a year.
Well, it does, and you raise a really good broad point that every year the buzz is about certain positions. There's some years when there's no position seems any good.
Right.
But you know, I remember the '99 draft, and five quarterbacks were taken in the top 12 picks, and only Donovan McNabb and Dante Culpepper were any good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tim Couch went one, and Akili Smith at three were complete busts, and Kate McNabb was an injury bust. At 12, so you can every year there's media darlings, there's you know buzz darlings, and it doesn't mean that they're going to be good quarterbacks. But one thing I will give you have to think respect the Pace did last year was this guy is that good, and you went and got him, and you took right you gave yourself some options this year that you don't have to have one because I remember in that '99 draft the Bears had to have a quarterback. So they ended up with Cade McNown.
Mm-hmm.
So, positioning yourself, drafting is it's almost, we tend to focus 1 year to 1 year to 1 year. Well, I guarantee you, Ryan Pace is already starting to draft for the 2020 draft.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to be available. Getting that out of the way is a franchise decision. We talked about Deshaun Watson. You hope they got, for their sake, they got the right one. Because, and pulling the camera back a little bit, too. I mean, there is such magnitude, gravity to this situation because mm-hmm. this is Ted Phillips and George May. If they don't get this right, this could have been a franchise-altering mistake.
Right.
If Trubisky turns out not to be that guy because Ace was the Ted that they gave, Pink was 14 and 34 and gives Ryan Pace an extension. Somebody on the board is going to say, fellas, what are you doing here?
Yep.
Again, they'll probably have a grace year this year, but things do have to turn around or there's going to be some tectonic plate shifting in Alice
Hall. Yeah, I think that's a really good point that this extends beyond just Pace, Nagy, and Trubisky. This, to quote probably every conspiracy theory in the world, this goes all the way to the top.
I think that's and fans might be listening and saying it should have gone all over the top last time. They fired the wrong guy. They should have fired more than just John Fox.
Yeah,
but it's there's reason to be optimistic, and yet it's every year so many things have to go right for every team. And there's reasons why teams you see them make the Super Bowl, and one of the things they'll talk about is we stayed healthy at key positions or whatever. Or in the case of, let's say, the Packers going back a couple of years to 2010, they had as many injuries as the Bears that
mm-hmm.
But won the Super Bowl because they had the quarterback position right.
Right.
If the Bears got the quarterback position right, they'll be in the discussion every year, even with mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins making the, what, I don't know what the odds of the Vikings going
right.
to the Super Bowl, but all of a sudden they improved with Kirk Cousins. So, there's some good quarterbacks in the division. And that's the first step for the Bears is getting out of that, getting to the top of this division over Rodgers and Stafford and Cousins now. So you can improve and still not be as good as you need to be.
that's a good wrap on this, that the Bears, you can be optimistic that the Bears are going to improve, but, you know, it may take a little longer than just this next year for them to be, you know, finally back in playoff contention. And, you know, I'll leave you with this. Matt Nagy was he's very cognizant of the fact that the Bears have not made the playoffs since 2010. He mentioned that today when he was meeting with the media. He knows that, look, even though everyone's optimistic around here, the pressure's still on. He's got to win, and he's got to win soon.
Yeah, you know, I think that's great. You're brilliant. And not to poke at the coach, but, you know, coaches often will come in and say, you know, it's going to takes a little while to turn this around. I think they're almost kind of giving themselves an out. You know, so what if they go 5-11 this year, are people going to be happy or unhappy?
Right.
I would assume unhappy, but do you really get a grace period? I think there were a lot of people who wanted to say, no, hey, how is you going to make the playoffs this year?
Right.
You're supposed to be that good. You're coming from a coaching staff, or Andy Reid, where playoffs are. If you didn't make the playoffs, you'd basically might have written off the whole year. Frankly, I don't think Nagy should be talking about that. I honestly, it's not disturbing, but you got your quarterback. He's not a rookie, and you liked him as supposedly coming out of North Carolina. So you got your quarterback. You got your defense. You got a top 10 defense. Don't tell us it's going to take a couple of years.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of things have to go right for that. But you should not take 3 years to get this thing turned around.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on the Under Center podcast on NBC Sports Chicago. Moon, thanks for the time. And we will catch you next week here on NBC Sports Chicago.